Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and I'm here to show why kinky sexual wellness deserves a rightful spot within the wellness conversation. Don't forget to join me each Monday as I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, welcome back. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to say something. Remember a few weeks ago when I went to the VIN event and I was talking about how awesome nudists are? Well, I did it. I actually stripped down in my birthday suit and spent a lovely Sunday afternoon at Oasis. And honestly, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, but I feel like in my case, it was very much the buildup that was the most nerve-wracking part of the experience, because once I was naked, it was easy. And it's actually kind of how funny, how quickly you kind of just get over being naked and even just forget about it, because everyone else is naked and they're just normal and they're chill about it. So yes, I just wanted to bring that up because yes, I'm just excited that I did it. It's just something on my bucket list. But anyways, that's all I really have for today on life events. Today, we will actually be continuing our conversation that we had on Monday with RMT Mark Dwyer. Previously, Mark was on the show to talk to us about our vagus nerve. And although Mark provided a number of amazing topics and informational bits, one that piqued my interest the most, though, was rolfing. If you listen to Monday's episode, then you know that rolfing is kind of like a massage that focuses on our connective tissue, which of course is our fascia. Fascia is something that surrounds every muscle, bone, and organ that we have. And it's what holds us together in place. And if we don't move our fascia or stretch it, or in this case, rolf it enough, the fascia can become tight, and when this happens, it will leave us feeling uncomfortable or even leaving us feeling in pain. This is because our fascia is supposed to be able to glide across from each other easily, right? Remember what Mark said about fascia. It's kind of like our motherboard computer. It's transmitting information across our bodies all the time through that thin layer. Now, typically, our fascia should be able to stretch to about 75% of its length. But with the increase of our more sedentary environments and us just like kind of staying still, our fascia is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And when the fascia becomes too tight and receives too little movement, it will cause the fascia to mat together and become thick, which will limit our blood flow and begin to compress on our nerves and muscle endings. And this is relevant because often, you know, we hear a lot of cases where someone has a mysterious back pain that they can't work through. But miraculously enough, when someone starts to exercise and stretch out their back and use it in the way that our back was intended with adequate strength, the back will start to feel better in almost like a remarkable turnaround time. So basically, what rolfing is that it's a way to help loosen up the fascia to not only make us feel more comfortable, but also keep us more flexible and allow, you know, our emotions or these signals to transfer through our body seamlessly. And although there's ancient civilization who have used various forms of bodywork technique that could very well be a form of rolfing, let's start with the modern day medicine history of it. Rolfing was made famous by a woman named Dr. Ida Rolf. Dr. Ida was an associate professor at the Rockefeller Institute in New York City, and while working there, she created the Structural Integration Series, which is a method used to help realign body parts to their natural positions, enhancing posture, mobility, and vitality. Rolfing also takes into account gravity and how this affects our body. So if you're looking about maybe getting a rolfing package or a session, here are the 10 steps and what you should expect to work on during those sessions. The first session focuses on loosening and rebalancing the neck, diaphragm, rib cage, arms, spine, upper legs, and hamstring. The second session also works on similar things like the arm, rib cage, diaphragm, upper legs, hamstrings, but it also includes the neck. And all of this is to provide stability by balancing the foot and the lower leg muscles. In the third session, the Rolfer aims to understand how a person's head, shoulder girdle, and hips align when the person is standing. The fourth session focuses on the area between the inside arc of the person's foot and the bottom of their lower pelvis. The fifth session aims to balance the surface and deep abdominal muscles with the curve of our back. The sixth session works on movement in the legs to build support for the pelvis and the lower back. The seventh session works on the person's head and neck. And the eighth and ninth session focuses on the integration of movement in various areas of the body to enhance coordination. Eight and nine kind of seem to be the sessions that where you kind of loop back to any really difficult areas that need maybe a little bit more attention. And of course, the 10th session focuses on integration, order, and balance throughout the entire body. But don't mistake this series for a massage series. Rolfing is painful, and although both massage therapists and Rolfers use their hands, knuckles, elbows, or anything else that's safe and up to standard to release and balance the body, Rolfing focuses on structural changes within the body to provide longer lasting comfort. But don't expect to walk into a sweet, sweetest massage. And Rolfing has a lot of other unique benefits that I want to list here because they're kind of interesting. It claims that it can give feet a wider range of motion. It can give you more length in your spine, right? Which is quite interesting. But wait, how can you lengthen your spine? Well, what Rolfing incorporates is something called thixotropic theory. And what this theory suggests is that when certain pressure or touches are applied to the body, it will begin to generate some heat. And what that heat will do is that it will soften or even liquefy the connective tissue. And that way the connective tissue can kind of turn into a more liquid substance, which makes it easier for the body to reorganize and manipulate to the surrounding areas, which can give us a chance to form new relationships to the surrounding muscular structures that we have within our body. Another benefit is, of course, it increases our mobility. Rolfing helps us with balance while sitting, standing, and walking, and can elevate chronic structural pains. Rolfing also says it can help the mind and heart feel free from old behavioral patterns and even help someone recover from traumatic experiences. Rolfing also helps athletic performance and posture while we're aging. But one thing it also helps out with is something called the three-dimensional breathing. But I want to pause here for a second because three-dimensional breathing didn't ring a bell for me when I first was reading about it. So of course I looked it up and I feel like this is the beginning of the rabbit hole that Mark was talking about, because what three-dimensional breathing refers to is being able to not only breathe in your chest, but also by using the sides of your torso and your lower abdomen. Meaning instead of shallow breathing that primarily focuses the chest, three-dimensional breathing pushes someone to use a more comprehensive and full breath that encourages the use of the entire respiratory system. Now, here's a quick breakdown of the three dimensions. In three-dimensional breathing, first we have the chest breathing, which is the most common type of breathing. And this is where, of course, the chest expands and contracts as air is inhaled and exhaled. However, it is said by relying solely on chest breathing, it can lead us to have shallow breaths, which increases tension in the neck and shoulders. The second dimension is side breathing. Side breathing involves the intercostal muscles working like between the ribs, and it's supposed to allow for a broader expansion of the lungs. Basically, in this way of breathing, it's emphasizing that we can expand on the ribs literally sideways, which I think is crazy. Like, what? I know I have never tried to breathe sideways. Seriously, you guys let me know if you have. But the third dimension is diaphragmatic breathing, which is in the lower dimensions and involves engaging the diaphragm. Our diaphragm is that, you know, that dome-shaped muscle located at the base of our lungs. And when someone breathes really deeply, the diaphragm contracts and moves downward, which creates space for the lungs to expand. I feel like this type of breathing is fairly well known because of singing. You know, and if you're a singer, like people use these things, or if you're in choir, or if you have to use your voice a lot, I have heard of this type of breathing before. But overall, I definitely feel like I'm someone who primarily engages in chest breathing. And like I said, I've never even tried to breathe sideways or thought of that as an option, or like I'm trying to envision, you know, my rib cage going sideways. But now I'm very excited to learn more about breathing properly. And I think that why this makes me so excited is because, on a side note here, I just want to really reinforce the notion that we should always be open to relearning things that we may already think we know. Because, like, apparently I'm just learning now to breathe properly. It was only up until a few years ago where I learned how to walk properly. Not like I had an accident or anything like that. But anyways, like, I guess the backstory here is the front of my shoes used to always get destroyed, right? Like my big toe would always like poke up through my runners, and it didn't really matter what pair of shoes I had or what I was wearing. I just always kept my toes, I guess, curled up. And this was my whole life. So there really is no long story short here, because the only story is I got a job where I could use the benefits. So I went to someone who could look at my feet, and I was in there for maybe an hour, and he's like, girl, this is just how you walk. And he showed me how, and he showed me how to put my toes down, and I never had to see him again. And he was just so sweet, and he didn't even charge me. So yeah, I will keep you posted on my journey of learning how to breathe. And I guess this goes in line because I am learning how to do breath work, but I haven't reached the point where I've gotten a three-dimensional breathing yet. But regardless, this episode is about Rolfing. But the real reason Rolfing piqued my interest so much is because kinky wellness also helps people in a lot of ways that Rolfing does, which only continues to support my claim that kinky wellness can very much be used as a body-based therapy when used with integrity and intention. Both of these practices can use harder and firmer methods of physical touch to release, realign, and rebalance our own bodies. Although I'm not claiming that kinky wellness can make you taller in 10 sessions, I do believe that kinky wellness can help you stand taller though, right? Which is something we all need. But kinky wellness can also help free your mind and heart from old patterns. And it can certainly help you recover from traumatic experiences too when used properly. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like when you do go to one of these Rolfing sessions, you're in for a time where you're going to end up crying or yelling at some point, or at least saying ouch and maybe your outdoor voice. But again, yelling and crying are very therapeutic as well. And sometimes it helps when someone else can make you yell, right? Like, we don't want to just randomly yell by ourselves, but if we're Rolfing and something's happening, then it makes it almost easier for us to yell, right? Because that's what we're going through. But you can also yell and cry and do all those things through kinky wellness in a fun, playful manner. For instance, when you're playing in a more primal play settings, you know, you can bite your partner with enough force that it doesn't necessarily break the skin, but you can still get your partner to yell out. And I'm not encouraging you to break skin either. I'm just saying that if you use force on your skin, you can still invoke a sound of expression. But although I don't encourage you to break skin, I want you to know that you're going to most likely end up with a bruise if you are biting down like this. But my point is, yelling is healthy for all of us. And sometimes we can't yell in the moment where we wish we could have. So we can use outlets and things like kinky wellness and even Rolfing to create a space where we can yell and get that stuck energy out of us, or at least move it. And even still, in primal play, you're basically grabbing at each other, right? You're grabbing at each other's skin, you know, you're grabbing each other's arms, legs, back, shoulder, really anywhere you can grab. And clearly, it seems that if you are just pulling on the skin in a way where like the fascia can break, well, this is just another contributing factor to why we can feel so relaxed after a very intense and high energy play scene. Because the reality is, like I said, sometimes in order to feel emotional pain or to move emotional pain, we do have to start the process by using methods that involve physical pain, whether that is a rolfer who's pulling at your skin using their elbows, or it's a husband and wife unleashing their wild side on a late Thursday afternoon. But in general, I know that tugging or pulling on the skin, you know, improves our circulation. It helps with our lymphatic system. It, you know, we can even exfoliate our skin. right? Like, you know, when you're washing yourself so hard or using that special textured wash thing in your bath that your skin starts to roll up with all that dead skin cells. Well, all of this is healthy and allows for new, healthier skin to surface. So why not do something that's fun and beneficial for your skin? And really, no matter how you're helping your fascia move or manipulate itself, you are helping to move crucial blood and nutrients and even cell waste around so you can lower your chances of inflammation. And when it comes to inflammation, more and more studies are coming out about how important it is to know about inflammation and holistic ways to combat that if you are someone who is suffering from inflammation, and maybe Rolfing can be a start for you, right? But that is all I have for today on Rolfing. But before we get into next week's guest, which is going to be a nice surprise, remember that on Sunday, March 24th, Ray Cherveski and Serena Haynes and I will be hosting our intimate workshop in Toronto, Ontario. All workshops are going to be hands-on, so wear comfy clothes that you feel good in. And you will also need to access your legs and arms. So if you are wearing long sleeves or pants, please wear something loose. My workshop is going to be highlighting the basic foundations of kinky wellness, which will help to open up the real meaning of what playing can look like. Serena's workshop will help partners explore tactile connections and slow movements through touch and mindful presentness. And Ray's workshop is all about exploring our bodies and our partners' bodies through visual perception, self-reflection, and open dialogue. Tickets are $85 before tax and include admission for 2 and 3 workshops. Guys, seriously, this is such a good deal. Tickets can be bought using the link in the description, which will lead you to our Eventbrite. And if you have any questions, shoot me a message through Instagram, right? You guys know where to find me, thepartition_life. But that's it for Wednesday. As for Monday, the big surprise is we are going to be joined by the one and only Anurag Shergill. For those of you who don't know who Anurag is, or also known as Anu, Anu is a singer-songwriter from Haryana, India, and is my husband. So he and I thought it would be fun and interesting to do a bit of a Clash of the Cultures episode, as we like to call it, that's going to kind of go over different things that we've experienced from him being in India, from me being in Canada. So on Monday, get ready to hear Anu and I talk about cultural depictions of women, how our sex education has differed so much, and really how shame has systematically been used against us. And we touch into religion, of course, and just our experiences growing up. So yes, very excited for that. So yeah, chat with you on Monday. Hope you guys have a fabulous rest of your week, and you guys know what to do. As always, stay kinky.